Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's UFC 261 title fight with 26-1 odds on either fighter to win. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $5 into $135 if the title contender of your choice wins. That's code FANRUN in all caps to turn $5 into $135. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, want help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Some good ones from Corey Hill as we kick off hour two. Quote, fast break offense, or quote, it's a new day on Rocky Top.
Tennis speed. Oh, sorry. This is Butch Jones thing. My bad. If I said dumpster fire, they're not going to say we're a dumpster fire.
We used
but,
to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Heupel's trying to put out the dumpster fire.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Moving on up. All right. I'm with you. All right. We got DR Vol up first. Davey. DR, you're on three now. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Nah, Houston, we were a dumpster fire. We're just a dumpster fire now, so we're getting better. So that's the positive. Guys, my number one square is the thing that's pissed me off as a Tennessee fan for 10 years, and I want to see JG not at quarterback.
That's a free square for everybody. You're right. That's the one. DR.
No, we got to take it while we can get it, Nate, because if former Tennessee quarterback Milton goes to Washington State and beats out former Tennessee quarterback JG, he may come back.
Nope.
For the promised land.
Nope. Don't like that.
No. I'm just thinking whatever hurts the most. I say it all the time. Whatever hurts the most is usually what happens, so I'm just trying to get that ready in my head. Guys, there was a knock on Hooker I heard when he came here a few months ago. And I've talked about it with y'all. This is something I want to see in the scrimmage if I watch any of it. But they said that 80% of his throws over 20 yards resulted in turnover. So I want to see him throw it deep. I want to see. I know that it's not going to be like a regular game, but that worries me.
80% of his throws over 20 yards in the air were turnovers?
Remember Butch?
Yeah.
50-50 balls? A 20-80 ball.
I thought he completed like 69% of his passes or something.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. Completion just
that.
To the other
That's
team.
Incompletions per completions.
That can't
in Tennessee. In Tennessee, you got to be very specific on what a completion is. Guys.
Fair.
Extremely specific. I would like to see our AD talk about how well Heupel's doing without discussing recruiting. That's a square for me.
Well, you can't.
Oh, I'm sure. Well about Dr. recruiting. Daniel get an interview sesh.
If he says recruiting's been good, guys, I don't think I can handle it.
He won't because he can't.
It's been awful.
Yeah. And honestly, that's about it for me. What are we expecting out of the Milton? I mean, only at Tennessee is a guy enrolled here, and we still don't have him.
I think he just wants his moment. He wants to announce it himself. I think it leaked, and he's trying to create a little suspense for it.
Yeah, that would make sense. I really wish I
just
could
just
what
we need. DR is another quarterback that needs attention. We got wish me happy birthday guy. We got
while I'm suspended for getting arrested.
We got loyalty is all I need as I'm like tick off girls on TikTok guy with and hold stacks of cash, all that's Brian Maurer in case I guess Harrison Bailey hasn't been too much of an attention seeker.
No,
right?
Not at all.
He's actually been quite the opposite.
So that's good.
Shouts out. I
he's low key.
That.
So we bring in and Hooker. Hooker didn't do anything like look at me.
Nope, he hasn't.
Remember. So I don't know. Maybe it's not that bad, but it's pretty funny.
So what you're saying is Milton, Salter, and Maurer walk into a bar, and we just see what happens.
And a Volfer gets his wings.
It's probably better than walking into a pilot.
Well, guys, I do wish I could make it down. I don't care nothing about the game, but I'd like to meet all y'all. And I was really hoping to ask Clay Travis to get on air with Davey and do a movie review of the new Space Jam. Y'all have a good day.
He probably would do it. I'll ask him on Saturday. Clay Travis in the depot.
That was a good point by DR. JG not at quarterback.
I like that. That is
and no chance of him being at quarterback.
Oh, I got
be a big
I got
deal.
Another one. Mm-hmm. No offensive formations with 9 guys within 7 yards of the ball.
I like that.
Remember those formations? Tyson Helton was forced to run by Jeremy.
Yeah, but remember when we tried to talk ourselves into that being kind of cool? Oh, yeah, we're going to power football. We're going to run it down your throat. Fullback.
If you can't give yourself some hope, I don't know, you know, what's the point. So I don't blame us for that.
No, I know. The jumbo. Jumbo package.
I mean, if we had guys that could actually, you know, block and stuff, it would have been okay.
Yeah. Who had been coached to do such things.
We'll always have that one play-action touchdown on the goal line against West Virginia Houston. Well, that moment. In that moment, it was perfect. Everything was fine. We were back.
Well, we had we went backwards like 20 yards on the first play of that game. But that one play was good.
That one drive, that we just marched it down and just – it was fourth down, remember? They wanted to quit and run off third down.
That's actually the first time I was like, this Pruitt guy.
Big Jeremy Pruitt was like, no, get your ass back out there. We're going for this.
Grow a pair.
Yep. And we hit Dominic Wood Anderson. We're like, oh, he's going to be a stud. Look at this. And then the rest is history.
History indeed.
Yep. Let's go back to the phone lines. 865-546-8200. We got Philly up next. What's up, Phil?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Philly, you going to be tuned in on Saturday?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so. Just checking.
Are people really not going to watch it? Not even watch it?
I mean, you have to go out of your way to get it for a lot of people.
I guess that's true. It's not just like on the tube.
Guys, I'm a little concerned about Davey saying he's negative. He sounded like he's depressed watching Tennessee football.
He is. I'm worried about him.
And it's pretty bad, though, isn't it?
I'm apathetic.
Oh, Lord. So who else have we lost now? Did we lose Mayor Week, don't we?
Yeah, Katron Evans got out of his letter of intent. You know, nothing but just a 4-star D tackle.
Was he on campus already?
I don't think so, no.
No, he wasn't an early enrollee. He was just buddies with the early enrollee that suspended.
Teammate.
Aaron Wells.
Well, I guess the culture is he got found out quick, didn't he?
Yeah, and, like, that's tough for Heupel, man. Like, he gets here, the recruiting class is already set, which was, you know, weird the way we kind of waited to fire Pruitt and allow all those guys to early sign.
It sucks.
And who knows why, you know, some of them ultimately chose Tennessee. And if
I know why.
I was hinting at that, but I'm, Heupel says, oh, yeah, sorry, no, the auto deposit is not happening. Like, this is, if you don't like that, go. And so they're like, all right, go get paid somewhere else.
It does suck, but if I am trying to be somewhat positive, you just got to get the guys that don't want to be in out now. It's better to have
I agree with that.
Full with them in like this off season than have to wait for the season to roll around, deal with them there, or next off season. Like, let's just trim all the fat now.
Yeah.
Even if you're just a very anorexic looking person at the end of the day, because
even if it's 6'4", 320-pound, 4-star defensive tackles that are top 200 players,
it's not ideal.
It's a lot of fat.
It's not ideal.
And muscle.
Do y'all really think Tennessee will have a winning season this year?
I don't. I think they'll go 5-7.
I'm starting to wonder. I mean, I don't know though. There's so many free wins on the schedule.
Schedule's easy,
Philly. I mean, like you got 3 for sure. I mean, like, stone cold locks. Then you got, like, Pitt apparently is worse than we are somehow. South Carolina is a complete train. I mean, we're at 5 already. You win one game and you're 500.
So if you win 6 games, you've done a good job, right?
I mean, kind of, yeah. You at least can't say it's a bad job.
No, after just winning 3 last year.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know.
I mean, Vanderbilt's.
If Pruitt can win 3 SEC games last year, surely Heupel can win 3 this year, right?
I mean, South Carolina and Vandy are as easy as it gets.
Right. Surely he can then beat
someone.
You know,
he's
going to
get multiple shots at teams where the talent's at least
Missouri, close. Ole Miss, something like
Kentucky.
Sure. Right.
Well, I guess the only positive we got is Tony Vitello and Rick Barnes basketball recruiting.
Yeah, Rick Barnes earning the paycheck on the recruiting trail last couple of months. I know a lot of people were worried when we had all the departures, but I think he's done a great job. And then Tony V, I mean, we really are like the Cleveland Indians in Major League. Like, we're just a ragtag collection of guys who they work really hard. They figured some stuff out. They fight. And I think good things are on the horizon. I saw they picked up another commit yesterday. I mean, that's what he did at Arkansas so well, was recruit. And it looks like he's doing that here now.
Well, if he stays here for an extended period of time, Tennessee ought to be, you know, have a nice program in baseball.
Yeah, and if he doesn't, then we messed up, Philly. Like, he wants to be here. And I don't think Tony Vitello is worried about his paycheck as much as he's worried about his legacy. Facilities. Yeah, he wants facilities. He wants to be able to recruit. He wants to have, you know, a weight room for his team. You know, he wants Tennessee to take baseball seriously. And I think if they do that, he'll be here until the majors call, probably. And if they don't, then we're going to be hunting another baseball coach, and this will probably be one of the biggest mistakes in the history of Tennessee athletics.
How much are we talking about rehabbing Lindsey Nelson Stadium or upgrading their facilities in baseball? Any idea?
I mean, it's a conversation. I realize Danny White has a lot on his plate with football, but I would hope that after this season, especially just seeing how that environment has gone from nothing to, you know, a really unique spot in the SEC, I would hope that he realizes what he has the potential of in Tony Vitello and that baseball program.
Well, but they've been throwing millions of dollars away in football for nothing. They gave this defense coordinators in here for a month, gave him $1 million, and they give Fulmer $1 million out the door. Well, you're throwing money away like federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's, you know, stimulus checks or something. Yeah. Ridiculous. And Rick Barnes, he kind of had Fulmer disease the last 2 years, don't you think?
What do you mean, a little fat and happy?
He got that money, and,
yep.
You know.
Yep.
Now maybe he's got, you know, somebody smacked him in the face a little bit, and you see the what you got to do now.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll be like Fulmer. See you.
See you, Philly. Yeah, I don't want to be too hard on Rick Barnes. Weird year. I'm sure you saw this yesterday, Nate, but John Fulkerson admitted that he had COVID in the preseason, that it absolutely impacted him and his mm-hmm. teammates throughout the year. So hopefully we can put all that behind us. This basketball team can have a standard offseason. And I mean, we got, what, 3 top 50 players in this class? You're bringing back Fulkerson. I don't want to say no excuses, but, man, I mean, it's all right there in front of you again to be top 10, 15 team, mm-hmm. and, or better, you know, if some guys pan out early. But the baseball thing, it just seems like such a no-brainer. I mean, Philly said it, like, you're burning money everywhere else, and it's not working. You have a surefire thing in Tony V that is working, and he just wants it to be even better. Give him what he wants. Like,
You don't have to worry necessarily about the Major League Baseball come calling, because typically you don't see too many coaches making the jump from college to Major League
Baseball. No, I'm just saying, like, that would be the only thing probably that would pull Tony V out of here if you give him what he wants.
For me, it's one of the legendary programs. Like, if it's an LSU that we've talked about where their coach is kind of on the hot seat with their poor start this season, like, LSU is very much invested in baseball. They would provide all the money Tony V wants Tennessee to provide in baseball, including the stadium.
I see, like, that, but what I'm saying is if we will pay him and give him the facilities, I don't think an LSU could steal him. I think he likes it here. We gave him his first big opportunity. I think he's invested into this community and this university. All we got to do is reward him and give him what he wants for his success.
Mm-hmm. We need to find him a girl that's from the area, all her family's still here, a local tie, just to kind of tie him down as well, you know?
Roots.
Yeah. Mm. Then he wouldn't want, he's like, well, she's like, oh, my family's here, you know? Mm. Like, I don't want to leave them.
Callum tweets in, Texas A&M is believed to be interested in Tony Vitello. A&M's Rob Childers is in the final year of his contract. He has taken the Aggies to 13 straight NCAA tournament appearances in 16 years. 592-307-3 is his record. The feeling is that he has ran his course, similar to Rick Barnes at Texas. Jim Schlossnagel of TCU is rumored to be the top candidate, but Vitello is a fallback. T- TCU has knocked A&M out of the Super Regional something like three consecutive years and eliminated the Aggies from the College World Series in 2017. Childress makes $800,000 a year, and A&M has proven they're willing to pay.
Mm-hmm.
JT says, I'd be pretty mad if we lose Tony V to A&M or any other college program.
Especially if he's their fallback option.
I mean, you got to realize where we are in the college baseball landscape, and Danny White better try and like use the success on the field to match that with the prestige level off it and in the coaches department. We'll come back with more. Stick with us. Quick break. More of your phone calls on the flip side. 865-546-8200 is the number to join the program. Are we gonna do what they say can be done? We've got a long way to go. This segment of the program brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Check them out online at KnoxvilleSmiles.com and make your appointment to go see Doctors Malone or Costa. They got you covered right here in West Knoxville, Cedar Bluff area. Knoxville Smiles for all your dental needs. KnoxvilleSmiles.com to make an appointment. We go back to the phone lines, 865-546-8200. We got Matt up next. What's up, Matt? You're on Three and Out.
What's up, fellas?
Matt, you getting excited?
A little. I don't know, man. I'm excited about Monday's conversation just to kind of see.
That's the spirit.
You know. Yeah.
Is it going to be a happy, feeling good, or a, oh, boy?
I mean, in best-case scenario, I mean, I don't think we come out feeling happy from it. I mean, or unless the quarterback's just – you just see some, like, knight in shining armor and somebody's throwing the ball 70 yards and there's some hidden gem there that nobody knew about, which, you know, it's possible. But, I've been hearing this conversation on baseball, and I'm going to take a different approach on this, but I want to ask you guys a couple of questions. We keep talking about facilities over there. How are the baseball facilities, like the workout? When we say that, you kind of lump everything together. I know what the stadium's like, but do the guys work out in like a high school gym or something, or what's their workout facility like compared to the football facility?
I've been down there to their weight room underneath, and like it's a pretty nice setup for the baseball team. Like it's no, obviously when you compare it to football or the Pratt facility, it's obviously not to that level, but still I'd say for our baseball program, it's still a good facility. Like I don't think it's their facilities. I haven't seen the locker room, so I don't know there, but I think
that's a big one for him too, like upgrading the locker room.
Okay.
But yeah, I haven't seen it either. But I have heard that that's like on his short list of.
I think the main focus should be the stadium, because when you look at how many seats are available, like it's so much smaller compared to other SEC schools.
Yeah, I agree with you, Alex. That's kind of my point was if we're just going to throw, because I hate the whole like we've got to have the best facilities argument, because I mean I don't now if Vitello wants it, then you got to do it. But, I mean, sometimes I just think over the years, we've just spent money just to spend money.
Oh, I'd agree with that. Yeah. Like when we hired Craig Fitzgerald, and he's like, I don't like the way the pads are on the floor. Okay, well, here's, you know, $1 million.
Quarter million.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, then who suffers from that at the end? The fans do. That's all getting paid back somewhere. And usually it's trickling down to the lowest denominator, which is the fan that comes and buys a soft drink or whatever. So, you know, if they need to do the upgrades, I'm fine with it. Like to definitely improve the stadium and the locker room would be okay with me. But if they're just talking about going there and just revamping the whole, you know, because I can point to all these. There's Duke in basketball. There's Notre Dame in football. There's some of these other places that just keep tradition and keep you know, Duke's facility. I've not been over there, but it doesn't. That's a small gym. They could have expanded years ago and they never did, and they're still a successful program.
Mm-hmm. Matt, if I put you on Duke's campus and told you to find the basketball gym and you couldn't like see any of the names on places, you probably wouldn't be able to locate it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't like you wouldn't know that there's a gym there. Looks just like any other building.
So I mean, just you know, but you don't think that I mean, Davey, you think Duke, if they wanted to, could probably invest and build a 15,000-20,000. Stadium and probably feel it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. They wouldn't struggle there, but yeah, it's just, I mean, like, I've been to a lot of different basketball arenas. The atmosphere in Cameron's one of the best I've ever been in, and it doesn't even hold 10,000 people.
Right. So So that kind of, I just go back to, like, you know, I don't mind having the smaller stadium. Increasing more seats is fine with me. I just want the atmosphere to be good. And if you can build on that, mm-hmm. and build an instant tradition, because we don't have a tradition of baseball here, really. We've been good here and there, but, you know, if we want to sustain this thing long term, and if, you know, I just think sometimes we just go into this, it just seems like everything's just invest money. We got to have the best facilities, the best this, the best that. But for what? These guys have these workout gyms. The worst workout gym in the SEC is still a five-star, five-diamond luxury gym. I mean, it's like, there's nothing. If somebody's making a decision based on that, I mean, screw them, dude. That's just asinine, because we end up having to pay for it every time. And I'll be honest with you guys, I'm tired of investing and paying and not getting anything in return. I mean, just point to football. We back after the 90s, came in the early 2000s with what was the AD that came in and did a good job raising a lot of money and revamping the locker rooms, revamping the facilities. They put millions and
that
millions
was
of dollars.
Hamilton, right?
Hamilton, right. And we ain't won jack you know what since.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably have one of the, and for a while there, for a decade, probably had the nicest facility in the SEC. And it took forever for people to catch us. And we didn't win a champ. We didn't win nothing from that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, you know, there's way more to it than just we got to have great facilities to win. You know, Vitale needs to worry about building a culture over there and keeping the fans on campus, not the facilities.
Well,
they can win.
I think he's doing that. I think he's doing that. So, I mean, I'm okay with rewarding him and giving him some of these upgrades if he wants it, because he's proven himself already. Like, the guy he's a winner.
Yeah. Well, but,
you know, it's not like
he
didn't come in here and ask for that right off the bat. He said, you know, hey, down the road, we might want to look at some of these facilities and upgrades and so on and so forth. And it was like, okay, but he's had the success. Like, he's earned it. You know, Craig Fitzgerald hadn't done anything here, and he comes in and says, I need $1 million for the weight room.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I agree with rewarding for sure. If he wants it, you got to give him. You got to invest in the program to keep him here for sure. You got to do that. But I hope there is a fine line that we're just not
sure.
You know, some of this other stuff, like, hey, we're going to revamp the weight room. Like, you know, Alex was saying, if that weight room is in good shape, it's fine. The football team does not need to invest any more money in that damn weight room.
No.
Okay.
Right.
That weight room's fine, and we keep throwing money every year. I hear something else they bought. They just bought new weights last year. New, you know, it was like $300,000+ for. I mean, like, what? They're weights. What the hell are you doing? You need new weights. New weights. I mean, what do they do? They weigh the same. I don't get it.
Yeah. What? Like, right, Craig Fitzgerald, like, free weights, not machines or something like that. So they
what
got
Fitzgerald. That was such a oh
yeah
bad.
Yeah.
You guys need to go on YouTube and Google Ole Miss's baseball facility. They recently redid that. I think it was like 2-3 years ago. It's insane.
Yeah, I'm not saying we have to be, you know, the best facility in the country, but we need to at least be on par with SEC teams that we're recruiting against.
I think the number one priority has to be the stadium. Like, my dad just went to Mississippi State last weekend for Ole Miss Mississippi State. Like, the pictures he was sending me of how many people they can pack into that stadium, mm-hmm. it's incredible.
Yeah. And I think as this team kind of wins the fan base over, and especially once the, you know, capacity restrictions change, you're going to want people in that stadium, and they're going to want to be there. They're going to want to go and buy concessions and buy, you know, beer and hang out. It just makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you could make money on baseball if you, you know, allow it to happen.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I'll say this, and I'll hang up and listen. You know, I live in on the south side. I live in Seymour, so I drive, you know, back through coming down the south side of Knoxville every game, every across that Henley Street Bridge all the time. And for years, the south side is the side they've looked at revamping, and they want to, you know, they want to upgrade, correct, which is going to cost a ton of money. I don't think they need to put any more money into that stadium. And I know that sounds weird, but I like the old classic, just beat up brick look. And just the old feel that stadium has of, like, the 80s and 90s. And, you know, and if it's a safety issue, I know you got to do it, which I don't even think that's the case. I just think they want to do it for aesthetics. They just want it to look good. And I just don't think that really brings any more people to the stadium. I think the atmosphere, if you can invest mm-hmm. in something to make the atmosphere better, like the baseball stadium, whatever you can do to maybe add more seats here or there and make the experience more fun for people, that's what they should really be investing in, not to make it look cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyways, I'll see you guys.
Thanks for the call, Matt. I don't know. I mean, they're the left. They gotta do something to the left field, the third base side. It looks terrible down there, where they have the like turf little umbrella and picnic tables that they're not allowing anyone to sit at right now. Anyway,
basketball team they got together. They sat there for the last game.
Good for them.
Patrick tweets in and says, Chris Burke, obviously he played baseball here, has stated several times on record that Tennessee has the worst facilities in baseball in the SEC, with the exception of Missouri. Look, I'm not sitting here saying we have to be the gold standard for facilities, but we cannot be, you know, like, can we get to the midway point of the league?
Well, what Matt's talking about and what we're talking about are kind of two different things. I mean, like, a kid doesn't go to Duke basketball and be like, oh, this stadium's too small, I don't want to come to Duke, because they're given everything else. Like, yeah, the arena's small, that's part of our the charm. Matt's saying you don't have to have more seats, but you can't have a kid that's deciding between Vanderbilt and Tennessee in baseball and come to Knoxville and go, oh, yeah, I'm not coming here, look at this crap. You know, like you got to let Tony Vitello win that recruiting battle on a different – or at least compete in that recruiting battle in a different way. You need the kid to visit Vandy in Tennessee and go, yeah, I could see myself playing either one of these places, and then let Tony V have a fighter's chance to get that player.
Parents and recruits need to at least come to Tennessee and say they take baseball seriously.
Right, yeah.
I think that – get me to that point and I'll be good. Yeah. I think that's what Tony V's saying too.
Because what Matt's saying is, if you don't win, it's not going to matter. But
right.
You got to have good players to win. So mm-hmm. that's
And he's already proving that he can recruit and he can win. I mean, you're a top five team right now.
Some more ammo, yeah. Exactly. We'll come back with more. Get to more of your phone calls. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Welcome back to 3 and Out. We'll go right back to the phone lines, 865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in. We got T-Carp up next. What's up, T? You're on 3 and Out.
Hey, guys. What a great call by Matt. Hit the nail on the head and just... Man, sometimes these callers and you guys can say things just so much better than I can. But, like, I agree with them. You know, as a guy that's always been football first and really not paid attention to much any other sport, baseball is – Tony Vitello is enduring himself to me. Like, I can't get on Twitter and not see a baseball highlight. I can't not – see someone hitting a home run, or our fans talking trash, or us having a freaking blast. You know, it looks like a freaking blast there. And that makes me want to be talk to the wife and say, hey, let's save up a little bit of money. Let's find a day that they're playing. Let's go down there and have some fun. I want to have some fun. You know, this last year sucked. Let's go have fun. And if they can figure out a way to get more people like myself in there, like, let's do this. I love it. And again, the biggest thing that Matt said, you got to win. You got to have a coach that wins. Winning is fun, and that brings money. So my next question is, and I'm always going to bring it back to football, is I really hope Heupel can be that fun guy that wins. That wins the games he's not supposed to win. Now, I don't think he's going to be a world beater the very first couple of years. But, man, if you can have some fun and we can win, you know, I always point us back to what's his name? Sorry, he's at Ole Miss now. I can't think.
Lane Kiffin.
Thank you. Sorry, I can't believe I couldn't think of his name. But I always look back at Lane Kiffin. We didn't win a lot of games, but what – Houston, was that fun?
Yeah, yeah.
It was a freaking blast. And I think we can have that again with Heupel. We just got to figure out how, and that'll bring more money in. Then we can, you know, upgrade everything. And I know that sounds so simple, but, you know, it's really – I don't think it's as hard as we have made it out to be. Am I wrong here? What do you guys think?
No. Well – I don't know if it's necessarily easy, but it's already in front of you. Like, he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, right. And my thing is, like, if you've got a good coach, keep him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can't play this ticky-tack, let them go, bologna sausages. You have got to keep these guys that are winners. Now, I understand, and I'm going to kind of pull it back, too, on Barnes. Like, I understand Barnes can sometimes let you down, and he has some issues in the postseason. But this talk of letting him go is crap. You have got to keep a coach that can win consistently. And we, you know, and bring in top talent and do that. I'm sorry if that makes some of my brethren that I love and respect mad, but I believe that's the truth too. So just my opinion on all that. Y'all be good. Matt had a great call, knocked it out of the park. Love you guys. Y'all be good.
Thanks, T-Carp.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, we've seen in football how hard it is to find a winner. So when you have a winner in baseball, let's just make sure you keep him and give him the resources to keep winning. Let's go to Berto next. What's up, Berto? You're on three and out.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Morning, bub.
Yep.
It's a little chilly this morning. I kind of like it. So can you hear me okay, guys?
Yep. Yeah, we got you.
Just want to make sure. Out here in beautiful Maryville, Italia. Yeah, okay. So we're talking about facilities. Guys, I was a moderately high-level baseball player in high school and into college. And Tennessee's facilities were elite when I was in high school in 1995. Okay? Mm-hmm. And they haven't updated since.
They're the same.
It's the same. Yeah. It literally is the same. And Nate's right. They got to do something with the left field.
That's almost 30 years.
Yeah, I looked on YouTube. The last time we have like an official UT video of a tour of Lindsey Nelson Stadium was 7 years ago when we still had Dave Serrano.
Interesting. And then looking through. Now, I will say this. So Tony V is doing this with antiquated equipment, if you will, mm-hmm. right? Imagine what he could do if it wasn't antiquated. But here's what really scares me, guys. I have feelers out in the baseball world because of the, you know, I played a lot growing up, and I know a lot of guys. And I know a lot of guys in the pros, and I know a lot of guys in college that are now coaching. Guys, this sounds crazy. We may not want to win this series this weekend. Texas A&M is hot to trot for Tony B. They're probably getting ready to can their guy, and they're going to come after Tony B.
So you want to let him win?
You guys
win?
Know this, right?
Let him win.
Can't let it happen.
I don't care how it happens. Right?
I'm not telling him to throw the game, but I wouldn't blame Tony V. If he goes down there and stomps a mud hole and they want him, that's what you want if you're Tennessee. You want your coaches to be desirable. Then it's just up to Danny White to keep him. Do whatever
and
it
Danny
takes.
Danny White, yeah, I agree, and you led me into my next point. And Danny White sat there on a national telecast on Saturday. Did any of you actually tune into the game or on Saturday via television and hear Danny White's interview?
Yes, but I somehow missed the Danny White interview.
All he talked about was damn Josh Heupel. That's it. He talked about Tennessee football, not Tennessee baseball. It was like an infomercial for Tennessee football. And sitting there stomping a mud hole and the number one overall pick throwing jack after jack over the wall, and he's talking about Tennessee football.
He has to. He simply does. You might not like it, but, I mean, like, that's the only thing that is going to be able to get him the money to keep Tony V. So if he likes Tony
V. That's incorrect. That's such a fallacy. Do you know how much we paid Jim Chaney to leave last year? The money's there.
Because of football. Like, you might not like it, but that is where all the money comes from. Everything they pay anyone with over there comes from football.
Or Randy Boyd's checking account.
Okay. Well, but the point is, it's not going to take that much more to keep him, and we paid more than that to make guys go away. Mm-hmm. Okay, here you go. This is a little funsy, all right? Did we not pay Kevin Steele $900,000 to be on campus for less than 3 months?
Yep.
Okay. Tony V, all he would need is about 1.1 to stay. But Texas A&M, they're going to offer him well into the 1.25 to 1.5 range.
How much would it cost to renovate the stadium? Because isn't that what the whole conversation's been about? We need the money to pay to keep him? Because
yeah, and I agree with that with football. With football, that does pay for those things. But you said to keep Tony V. And that's why I said that's a fallacy.
No, yeah, they've got the money. Davey's just saying he was talking about football because he's trying to raise interest in football to make more money for the university.
Yeah, I'm not simply saying to keep Tony V's salary, like, but isn't that the thing, like, that's kind of been the conversation? It's like, I mean, not naming Tony V's salary. He wants the resources to be better for recruiting, the facilities to be better. And if he wants that, that money's got to come from football because they're not going
to
raise it.
You got to pay him first to keep him. You got to pay him first and then give him facilities. That's the order.
Yeah, I think so. It should be.
Do you not think it's binding in terms of him saying, look, I'll take as little as this price as long as you put money into this?
Yeah, he and Fulmer had that conversation like 2 years ago. Like that, there, at least under Fulmer, there was some type of plan and agreement. Because I'm trying to look right here. Yeah,
and Danny No Nugs has not given him anything. Danny No Nugs is in a bunker somewhere. I'm telling you, they are not talking to Tony Vitello at the level they need to. Guys, I have told you for how long now? Is it 1 or 2 years? I have said Tony Vitello is the best coach in any sport on that campus, period, end of sentence. And he is. And it's being proven out.
No, I love the guy. I love the guy.
His team's about to walk into the SEC tournament, and they might walk out with an SEC tournament championship. They might. They're that good. They're the only team that can consistently beat Vanderbilt because they're the only team that's scrappy enough to hang with those guys. Vanderbilt's probably going to win the national championship, but the fact that Tennessee, I mean, yes, Leiter left the game and he was winning, but that was more on the defense than the offense. Tennessee lit him up. In five innings, he gave up more home runs than he's given up all season combined. Tennessee has the firepower to beat people, and that's a great feeling. And T-Carp said it, and I think Matt said it too. It's just fun.
Yep.
It's fun to watch. Hey, I bought ESPN Plus. I never thought I would do that because I'm kind of an anti-ESPN guy. But I bought ESPN Plus because I really want to watch this team play ball. And I've watched the last two games on ESPN Plus, and it's been wonderful, even though we lost one of those, because it's something that I can get behind and say, those kids act like I used to want them. You know, like they play like I used to play. They're scrappy.
No, they're a team that makes you proud to root for them, without question.
Yeah. They're the antithesis of what this year's basketball team was. Do you agree? That basketball team had all the talent in the world, and they wouldn't scrap for a win, and they quit down the stretch. And this team is the exact opposite of that. They don't have the most talent. I mean, guys, right now the best hitter on the team is a walk-on from Jackson. And he's probably going to be All-SEC second or third team this year. That's freaking legit. And that's Tony Vitello coaching kids up. And they are the antithesis, again, of what we've wanted out of this basketball team. And that's why everybody's throwing so much support behind them, because we identify with that in this area of the country. We identify with hard work. This is a blue-collar town. So pay Tony his money and then promise him his facilities and stop talking about football on national telecasts, where you should be shining light on how great your baseball team is. See ya.
Thanks for the call, Bert. We'll come back. Final segment, hour two. Stick with us on 3 and Out. Final segment, hour number two.
I think we all agree.
Yeah, I don't know.
Arguing over the minutia. Like, we have a really good baseball coach. We need to make sure we keep him. He did get an extension in June of 2019 that runs through June of 2024.
Okay.
By the end of that deal, his salary will be $650,000 a year. He's been here since 2017, first-time coach. So I get that, you know, he's not a million-dollar man on the day you hire him. But after the progress he's shown with what apparently are the second-to-last facilities in the league, maybe it's time for, you know, a modest investment into baseball.
Check out this this graphic. This is 2015-16. Okay, so 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
SEC baseball program budget numbers. Guess who made the most money? I don't think any of you would guess it on the first try, but maybe you will since I gave
what,
that hint.
Like what school?
Which team in the SEC brought in the most revenue in SEC baseball?
Florida.
Any others? I mean, you're not going to be dumb for missing it. It's just throwing it out there. What do you think?
South Carolina.
Nope.
Alabama.
Texas A&M. Mm.
Good.
Vanderbilt was second. LSU third. Ole Miss fourth. Arkansas, South Carolina, Mississippi State, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee. Tennessee was 10th in revenue. In expenses, Tennessee was second.
Hmm.
Only behind Vanderbilt, who broke even. Texas A&M made $1.67 million in profit.
How much?
$1.67. LSU made $1.55. As I mentioned, Vanderbilt spent a lot and broke even. Ole Miss made $28,000 and Arkansas made $16,000. Everyone else was in the red.
I wish I could see the 19 numbers.
I'll see if I can.
When we went to, you know, we made the postseason. Because don't we think once everything gets opened back up at Lindsay? Because remember, they've only had alcohol for like two years, and then they.
My point is like $1.67 million in profit is
nothing. Nothing. Yeah, yeah.
I mean that's and no one, you know. Yeah, it's.
No, I mean
crazy. Like
get them to that 1 million-ish range, get them some facilities. I would imagine there are some boosters who are probably sick of donating money to football and seeing nothing in return. Maybe you can just slide some of that money to baseball. I mean, I don't. Is there anyone out there saying like, don't give them an extension or a raise or
no
facilities upgrades? Yeah. We don't have to be the.
No, I think in a weird way, Roberto was right and Davey was right. Both. Like, it doesn't take that much money in the grand scheme of the athletic budget to give Tony Vitello more money and make sure he's your coach for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then Davey's right in that football would pay for a big stadium renovation project for baseball.
With ease.
Both of those things can be true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't arguing the fact that they need to give Tony V a raise to keep him. I'm just saying, like, the entire conversation we had beforehand was how if you do want to keep him, the main thing he's talked about is he wants those renovations. He wants to be able to show off that we do have the facilities that can compete at the highest level. And I'm like, I don't know if people are just willing to pony up to pay for all those renovations just simply through baseball. Like that money would then come from your football budget like everything else does. Because what it like there's most sports or most athletic programs have two sports that generate revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's football and men's basketball. And mm-hmm. even across the country, I mean, with COVID, there's probably been some that didn't even get in the green this year.
Well, no, and that's what makes like the timing a little bit more difficult. I mean, Tennessee said they were going to be, what, like $40 to $50 million short on the athletic budget. That said, I mean, if Josh Heupel can get football even remotely healthy, like it's going to be a very profitable program.
I mean, like we always have that conversation. It goes back to people are like, well, we'll just pay the kids money. It's like, well, okay, we can do that, but then we're going to have to disband a lot of other sports because all that money goes to their scholarships, which really starts to add up.
You saw that this year, and it wasn't because we were paying the kids money. It's because other programs weren't making enough money, so you had to get rid of, you know, swimming and diving and, you know, other sports across the country. So, yeah, like it's not as easy as just, like, snapping your fingers, but at a place like Tennessee, they just started that new, Shareholder Society. Mm-hmm. So apparently somebody's already made a big donation to that. I mean, eventually you're going to be able to raise the money here. I would hate ever at Tennessee to have a successful program, a winning coach who wants to be here, and we just say, not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people were frustrated by the Rick Barnes thing, but that was a big move by Randy Boyd to say, no, man, we're not losing you. If you're going to be looking for other jobs, let us, you know, we'll give you a big salary, big raise, but you got to kind of go to phase two, and that's what has kind of happened. So if he's doing this with kind of one hand tied behind his back, well, cut him loose. Give him the facilities. Keep him happy. Let's see if we can't go hang a banner.
Yeah, and to Davey's point, you know, I did find some other numbers. Like Texas Tech went to back-to-back College World Series, they lost $5.6 million in baseball in those 2 years combined. Florida won the national championship 2017. They lost $3.57 million that year. Like, you don't make money off baseball. Like, you're never going to make money off baseball. Even if you're A&M and you make $1.5 million in a year, like, that's not real money when it comes to big-time college athletics.
No, yeah. It's going to take...
The money doesn't really matter.
Not as far as, like, the bottom line of the budget sheet. Yeah. No, this is going to have to be a university decision or somebody stepping up to the plate, sorry for the pun, and saying, look, I want to help renovate the stadium, the locker room. You can put my name on it. Here's whatever the number is, right? $5 million, $10 million, whatever that is. I mean, that's what Larry Pratt did. That's what Anderson did. They get their name on the facility. Boom. Here's the cash. Somebody can do that. Obviously, it's not going to be the stadium name, but they can have just about everything else in there named after them. You know, the patio, a pavilion, whatever you want to call it. Somebody, I think, would be willing to step up and donate to that, given the success and just, like T-Carp said, how much fun this baseball team is. Just my two cents.
Yep. Arkansas that went to the College World Series when this article was written, back, they're looking at 18-19 season, I guess. Total revenue. So, like, every dollar that came in for baseball for the whole season, $6.73 million.
Mm-hmm.
Their expenses were $5.87. Like, look up some football numbers and you'll see the difference. And number one, it's like, okay, it's the TV part of it. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so different.